The Apostle Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5, there is one faith. By that he means there is one and only one system of faith. There is only one faith that has been delivered by the divine will of the Almighty God. There is only one faith that is going to save the souls of lost men and women in this world. However, this one faith is placed within a multitude of other faiths. I had a friend the other day call me and he says, Vic, you got to hear this. He said, our preacher the other day preached a lesson entitled Confusionism. And by that he meant there are thousands of faiths in the United States. And if you begin to look at those faiths, it is nothing more than a bunch of confusion. Now, folks, how would you like to be placed in this world with no knowledge and with no guidance and told to look out and search and seek and adhere to the one true faith? Would that not be a challenge, to say the least? What we need in our world today is surety in the midst of confusion. We need a belief that you and I can hold on to tightly that will get us through not only this life, but also into the very portals of heaven itself. For the next few minutes, we want to study a lesson entitled Belief. Surety in the midst of confusion. And what we want to do is we want to look at the beginning of a belief, to the maintaining of a belief, to the point where ultimately our belief will save us. Now, if we were to preach the entirety of the lesson today, you'd miss lunch. So we can't do that. So we've divided this lesson into two parts. We'll be looking at three today, three in another lesson. And if you're here and you say, well, I hate that, we'll come back in a couple of weeks because I won't be here next Sunday. I got a son that's going to get married, and he said I better be there. I got a grandson who's got a birthday, and he said I better be there. So we got to get a lot in 3 days over the course of next weekend. So keep us in your prayers while we're gone. We'll leave Thursday and we'll get back on Monday night late if everything goes well. Let's begin this lesson by talking about producing a belief. My friends, you and I must first produce a belief, something that we trust in, something that we confide in, something that we hold to with our very being. And this trust, this belief, must be produced by means of the one true faith. Therefore, it is absolutely essential that every one of us give diligence to the Word of the living God. It is imperative that you and I dig down, study, read, meditate upon, and learn the will of the Almighty God. Because that is where saving faith comes from. Turn in your Bibles to Romans 1, 16 and 17. The Apostle Paul is writing and he writes these words, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it, the gospel, is the power of God unto salvation." There it is, isn't it? That's what we're interested in, salvation. How is my soul going to be saved eternally beyond this life? My friends, that means is found where? In the gospel. Notice what he says in verse 17. "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed." Therein where? Therein the gospel. "For therein is the plan whereby God makes you and me righteous in his sight." Now notice how it transpires. "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith." Notice that phrase, from faith to faith. What in the world is he talking about? He's talking about the system of faith, The gospel, the word of the living God. You and I have to read it, study, meditate upon it, practice it in our lives. That is the faith. If you and I will do that, it will produce personal faith in us. From faith to faith is what Paul means in Romans chapter 1, verse 17. There's other passages that acknowledge that same point, are there not? Romans 10, verse 17. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you want a saving faith, then the place to get it from is the Word of the living God. That's where it comes from. Jesus, when He traversed this globe, spoke these words in John 6, 44 and 45. No man cometh unto me, except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up in the last day. As it is written, and they all shall be taught of God. Every man that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. My friends, the way you and I have faith is by hearing and learning the Father's divine will. If you want faith today, you better turn to this book, because that's where that faith must come from.
Amen.
Now, if you don't get a belief, a trust, a faith from God's Word, listen to me, you will still get a belief. That seems weird, doesn't it? If you don't get faith from this book, you are still going to develop within you a belief. Now, the Bible warns us over and over and over again about false belief sources, does it not? Let's look at just two passages. Number one, Matthew chapter 16, verse 6. Jesus is speaking to his apostles. The Bible says, and he said unto them, take heed that ye beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. He's not talking about literal leaven. He's talking about their doctrine. He's talking about their teachings in that particular passage of Scripture. Beware of the teachings of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Why? Because you could believe those things. You see, if you don't believe truth, if you don't believe the Word of God, you are going to believe something. Turn your Bibles to the passage that was read this morning, 1 Timothy chapter 4. Let's just look at verses 1 and 2. Paul is speaking again, and he says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall what? Depart from the faith. Why? Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. There's three things you need to note in that passage. Number one, it is possible for you and me to depart from the faith. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in latter times some shall do what? Depart from the faith. You can fall from grace, my friends. The Bible teaches that over and over, just as plain as the nose on your face. I don't know whoever made that statement up, but it's pretty good, isn't it? It is clear. Some are going to do what? Depart from the true faith. Depart from the saving faith. How are they going to do that? What's going to make them do that? They're going to give heed. That is, they're going to listen to something. What? To seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. You see, folks, there's other teachings out there. There's other doctrines in our world. There's other voices that are calling to you. And if you don't believe the one true faith, then these other teachings and these other doctrines are going to have an influence upon you, and you are going to develop a belief system. But I want you to know one other thing. That false doctrine is nothing more than lies, isn't it? Speaking lies in hypocrisy. If you don't believe this, the only other alternative is to believe a lie. That's the only other alternative. But you will believe something. Can you imagine staking your soul on a lie?
Little girl comes and sold us our copy machine, our new one. I know some of you hate that thing because you got to punch in all these buttons and stuff. But anyway, we got one. And she's just as sweet and she's just as nice as she can possibly be. Just precious. And she seems to be a very morally minded young lady. However, when you talk to her, you begin to wonder, where did you get your belief system? She has a belief system. She has a moral system of some sort. But my question is, where did she get it? You see, we're all going to have one. Now, here's what's even scarier than that. Even if you don't actively pursue a belief of any sort whatsoever, guess what? You are going to have one. Isn't that amazing? I don't even have to pursue it. I'm going to get it. You say, well, where are you going to get it from? Well, you may get it from your parents. I tell you what, the media is telling us a lot of things today, aren't they? You may get it from the media. You may go to school. You may go to college. And guess what? You're going to get it from your college. At school setting, they're going to tell you a lot of things and fill your mind with a lot of stuff, aren't they? You may get it from your friends and your associates and your co-workers. They're going to fill your minds with things. But at some point, you will develop a belief system. Folks, every one of us in here has one. The only question is this. Is your belief system based upon the Word of God or not? That's the question. Because you see, there's only one what? There's only one true system of faith.
Amen.
There's only one faith that'll save. There's only one faith given by God.
Amen.
And I better make certain it's based on this book. You see, the first and foremost thing that I have to do in my life is I have to produce a belief. Now watch point number two. Point number two is this. You have to personalize that belief. What does that mean? Personalize your belief. Real simple. You need to make that belief your own. I believe it because I believe it. I don't believe it because mom and daddy believe it. I don't believe it because that's the church that I go to. I don't believe it because that's what my pastor said last week. I believe it because I believe it. There's no if, ands, or but. There's no doubt in my mind. I personalize that belief. It is mine and mine alone, and nobody can take it from me. Isn't that the kind of belief Paul had? For you have heard of my conversation in the Jews' religion in times past. How that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. And profited in the Jews' religion above many mine equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the tradition of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace to reveal His Son in me that I might preach Him among the Gentiles, listen to Him, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Galatians 1:13-16. When I received the call of the gospel, when God called me to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, to become a child of the living God, guess what I did not do? I didn't confer with flesh and blood. I didn't go back to mom and daddy and say, hey, mom and dad, is this good? I didn't go search out the local rabbi and see if he was in agreement with all of these things. I didn't go to my buddy, the high priest, and have lunch with him to see if he agreed with all of these things. We didn't call a council of the Sanhedrin to make certain whether Paul should do this or not. Immediately, I conferred not with flesh and blood. Paul believed it because Paul believed it. Now, folks, you need to get this because this is important. If you have not personalized your faith, then you're going to have problems. That's all there is to it. Big problems. You want to know what one of the problems is? Half-hearted practice of religion. Half-hearted practice of religion. Well, I kind of believe it, but I don't really believe it. It's sort of important, but it's not really that important. Oh, yes, Mom and Daddy, they really think it's important, but you know, it's just not as important to me. And so, guess what? When it's time to worship, you don't go all the time. Mom and Daddy are there. Steadfast, faithful, dedicated. Why? Because that's their personal belief. You don't have that. You got Mom and Daddy's belief still. See, if I don't go, Mom and Daddy be mad at me. Right? Preacher will be calling or something. Don't want that. The work of the church. Hardly ever there. Can't find you. Don't know where you are. You see, it's not really yours. You leave this building and guess what? The church is the last thing on your mind until maybe next Sunday at 11. Maybe. If I don't have something else to do. You see, I got a half-hearted approach to religion. Why? Because I have not personalized my belief. They're not mine. You got a belief, folks. You'll stand on it. You want to know another problem? If you haven't personalized belief, then you might do this. You might sit around and you might play a waiting game for years. You act like you have the true belief, but you just wait and you wait and you wait. And finally, the old regime dies. Now it's my time. Oh, I look good all of these years. I look like I was in harmony with the old belief system. But guess what? That one really wasn't mine. Now that I'm in power, guess what? We'll put this thing where it needs to be. Folks, we're seeing that in the church today, are we not? I'm telling you, in place after place after place, that's exactly what we're seeing. Individuals developed a belief system in the 60s. Disrespect for authority. Freedom from all restraint. Do as I please. It must feel good. Love, 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 love. And those guys, they sat around for 40 years waiting for those old men to die. And now they're dying. Now these guys are old enough to be in positions of authority, and guess what? They're implementing within the church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ their belief system. That's why we got worship services that are nothing more than entertainment circuses in the church today. That's why we've got preachers who will stand in pulpits and they will not hardly ever preach from this book. You won't hear a verse quoted hardly from this book. They don't have any respect for authority. And the Word of the living God. That's why we have instruments of music being brought into the church. You see, these individuals for years have thought, you know, there's nothing really wrong with instruments of music. It's okay. And so now that they're in power, guess what? Boom, the instrument goes in. It's okay. Women in leadership positions within the Lord's body, fellowship with denominations, on and on and on we could go. Why? Because those guys didn't personalize the true faith. They personalize some man-made doctrines over here, and that's what they've been holding on to for years. They've been playing the role of a hypocrite up until now. And here's the last one, and this is what's scary. Here's Mom and Dad. Got a good belief system. It's theirs. They've personalized it. Child, however, has not. They've had the faith of Mom and Dad. They haven't really personalized that belief. And then they have children. Now there's grandchildren. And guess what happens to the grandchildren? Oh, they may hold on to a little bit of belief until they leave the house. And when they leave the house, guess what? They're gone from the church, folks. And we're losing our young people. And that's because of half-converted parents that didn't do their job rearing those children and instilling in them a belief system. That's the biggest part of the problem today. Those kids have seen a lackadaisical approach to Christianity. It's not really real with Mom and Dad. They're just playing a part. And I'm not going to play the role of a hypocrite. I'm going to do what I want and be what I want. And they do. And it's not anywhere near what God wants. Why? Because I haven't personalized my belief. Folks, you've got to get it real in you. It's got to move from the head to the heart. And what I mean by that is this. It's got to not only just be a knowledge. It's got to get into my will. It's got to get into my emotions. It's got to get into my conscience. It's got to affect every bit of my inner being. It can't just be a little bit of persuasion. It has to be a passion for me. And I don't see much passion today in some members of the body of Christ. They go through the motions. And they act like it's agony. And they wonder why their children haven't embraced the faith. You've got to personalize your belief, folks. Point number three. You've got to practice that belief.
Amen.
That belief is supposed to go deep down into my inner being, into my heart. And it is to grow roots therein. And as it begins to root in my heart, guess what it does? It sprouts and it begins to bloom and grow. And it does so in my attitudes and in my words and in my actions. And let me tell you something. When that happens, your little old self is going to become nothing. Self isn't going to matter anymore. God, the church, others is going to matter completely and totally. You see, you've got to practice your faith. Go over to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Find some interesting statements in the very first chapter there. Paul had gone into the city of Thessalonica and they were idol worshipers. They were pagans. They were heathens. And folks, they were some of the most corrupt and vile individuals that you have ever heard of. But in verse 6, Paul says, "And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction and with joy of the Holy Ghost." Isn't that amazing? Here's individuals who became followers of the Apostle Paul, followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. How did they do that? Because they received the Word of God. Remember what we said before? How does faith come? By hearing the Word of God. The faith, the Word of God, produces faith in an individual. Here were a group of people who now had a belief. Did they not? Had they personalized it? You bet they had. How do I know? Because they were practicing it. That's how I know. Look at verse 3. Paul said he remembered something about these individuals. "Remembering without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love, and your patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father." What did Paul remember about those people? "I remembered your work of faith. I remembered your labor of love. I remembered your patience of hope." Folks, we're talking about diligent effort on the part of these Christians. That's what Paul remembered. Didn't he? Now jump down to verse 8 and listen to what Paul says. "For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but in every place. Your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not speak anything." Uh-oh, did you hear something in there? In verse 3, what did he talk of? Work and labor. But in verse 8, what did he say? He said, "It is your faith to Godward that is spread abroad." Folks, you can't hide a saving faith. Can't hide it. Did you know that? Your faith is seen in your actions. If you want to see how much faith a man or a woman has, look at what he's doing. That will tell you how much faith he has. The reality is this. You cannot have a saving faith that is not obeying and complying and carrying out the commands and the will of the Almighty God. It can't happen. That's a problem of the Jews in the wilderness, was it not? The children of God. If you were to ask them, "Are you children of God?" "Oh, yes, we're the children of God. Seed of Abraham." "You
second question, do you believe God? Oh, you know we believe God. You know that. And God in heaven was going, ha, you got to be kidding me. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the wilderness. When your fathers tried me and proved me and saw my works 40 years, wherefore I was grieved with that generation. And I said, they do always err in their heart, and my ways they have not known. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Hebrews 3, 7 through 12. Children of God. Oh yes, I've got faith in God. And yet when the Holy Spirit was speaking the Word of God to those individuals, they refused to obey it. They hardened their hearts. They would not comply. And God was displeased with those individuals, folks. And He swore in His wrath, you will not enter into rest. My friend, if you have an evil heart of unbelief, you won't make it into that eternal rest either. It's just that simple. My faith has to be demonstrated in my works. It's not enough for you to parade around your children. Oh, I'm a child of God. I'm a member of the church. It's not enough for you to go around boasting at your work. Well, I go down here to the Oceans High Church of Christ. Prove to me you've got faith. Show it to me in your works. I want to see your actions. That's what God says. That's what saving faith's all about, folks. You see, we need what? We need security in the midst of confusion, don't we? Amen. When people see our lives, folks, they ought to see somebody who is anchored by faith and hope to the Son of the living God. That's what they need to see. Do you have a belief? If not, we exhort you, we encourage you, we plead with you, turn to the Word of the living God. Have you personalized that belief? Is it yours? Or are you just still hanging on to it for some wild reason such as, well, that's what Mom and Daddy said. That's not going to be good enough in the last day, folks. Question number three. Can you honestly say that you're showing your faith through your actions? What doth it profit, my brethren, if a man say he hath faith and not works? Can faith save him? James 2, verse 14. That is a rhetorical question, and the answer has already been supplied. And the answer to the question is this: no. Faith alone will not save a soul. Won't do it. Where do you stand before God when it comes to your faith, my friends? Do you need to make some changes? Do you need to embrace that true faith? The Bible says to believe, John 8, 24. The Bible tells us to repent of our sins, Acts 2, verse 38. The Bible says that we must confess the name of Jesus, Romans 10, 9 and 10, and be baptized into Christ in order to put Him on. For as many of us as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ, Galatians 3, verse 27. Won't you do that this morning, dear Christian? Did you really personalize your faith? Do you practice your faith? Maybe you need to repent. Maybe you need to come back to God. Your faith only will not save you either. just as it will not save those in the denominations. You need to respond as together we stand and sing.